I'm first going to read quite a lengthy Bible reading. I didn't really think I could impose this on anyone else because it is all of 40 verses. It's the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. So I hope you'll bear with me. But it's the sort of chapter where you can't really make any omissions to get the full grasp, extent of the forceful witness and commentary on faith. We need to read the whole thing. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, then called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Let me say that again. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau with regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. It is quite a long reading, isn't it? Glad to see that you're all still awake. It's one of those, it almost gains in intensity as it goes through. Did you notice that? And did you notice the reflections of some of the things that you'd said in the terms of what faith meant to you? It's quite an astounding collection and testimony of what faith actually is. So when we think of faith, there are lots of descriptions that we would give to it, and we're thinking that faith really is a complex issue. It's not the same as trust. And when you think of this person with a simple faith that really kicked off my thinking on this subject, I wonder whether you would ever describe yourself as a person with simple faith. The description of a simple faith might mean different things to us. And my guess is sometimes it's a descriptor for somebody who simply believes that God is out there. God is there somewhere, but hasn't really ever engaged on the journey. And that was the impression I got the first time I heard this term used, that it was describing someone who had never really deepened their faith. And this was just by what other people had told me. I didn't know the gentleman, actually, but from what other people had spoken of him and some aspects of his life, I just began to wonder whether a simple faith can actually mislead us, whether we can think of it as something which is a very commendable thing, a virtue even, to have a simple faith. But is faith actually meant to be simple? Trust is certainly simple, because when we trust, and again we've had that testimony this evening, that when we have a deep faith, that enables us to trust in God, doesn't it? We have a deep faith which makes trust simple. But without a deep faith, then trust becomes almost impossible. So when we read through the litany of these people, these acts of faith, we begin to see how faith impacted on different people's lives in different ways. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. So we give an understanding. Somebody said knowledge a little earlier on. God gives us through faith knowledge and understanding. It's a simple understanding of something which scientists are always aiming to disprove, that God created the universe, that statistical evidence might indicate certain things, but they don't stack up when it's compared with the idea of God creating the universe. And so we have almost this conflict between science and faith. But faith tells us, the understanding we have of God and our faith tells us that what God has said is true. So we understand that whether we believe in the Big Bang or the different theories of creation, nevertheless, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. So that what is seen was made out of what is invisible. And of course, that's the kind of foundational theory in theology, that God created the universe out of nothing. If there were things already in existence before God created the universe, then God would be reliant on something. So this is important to our understanding of God. God has the power to create out of nothing. By faith, he says, Abel offered a better sacrifice to God than Cain did. Now, we know that story. We know it ended very badly for both of them, actually, for Abel and Cain. But God favoured Abel because he gave a greater sacrifice of what he had. And it's wonderful because that testimony of Abel continued after his death. By faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. And wouldn't we all like that on our epitaph? To still have an effective witness and ministry even after we've joined the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? If our faith lives on in other people and people who are inspired by those they've known and continue growing in faith because of it. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death. The important thing is, of course, Enoch was one of only two characters in Scripture who we don't read of their death. We don't learn of their death. We gather that somehow they join God without actually physically dying. And Elijah being the other one. So Enoch was taken from this life, but before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. He lived to please God. Another aspect of faith, to live to please God. And if I understand, if I'd have written that in the first column there when we did our exercise a little earlier on, that faith to me is pleasing God. What that would have translated into is a whole variety of things. In that living to please God, you respond to his call to do certain jobs. You respond to his Holy Spirit as he moves us to speak to people. In all kinds of ways, we're moved by God's Holy Spirit when we want to please God. And isn't that a key part of our faith? Wanting to please God and therefore listening for his voice to please him. By faith, Noah was warned about things not yet seen, but built an ark. I don't know if you saw the film, was it just called Noah with Russell Crowe? Oh, an abomination of a film. So if you're keen on the biblical text being followed, don't bother watching it. It's a bit of nonsense. But I remember at one point, which brought it home, the salient point of the story in our case tonight is that he was ridiculed. Noah was widely ridiculed for what he was doing. We read that in Scripture, don't we? That he wasn't thought of as a very clever person building this ark, but yet he sustained that and he overcame it because he was faithful to God's word. And he became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith, so we're told. And then we go on to the story of Abraham. Now, this covers quite a number of verses, so we won't spend much time on that this evening. But Abraham was called out of his home to go to another place that he didn't know. And at that point, it's quite remarkable because when we read the story of Genesis, he didn't even know God. God introduced himself to Abraham, and Abraham had to get to know who he was. But he said, look, I want you to go from there to there. Well, it's a long journey. I've always lived here. What about all the stuff that I've got? Trust me. And Abraham, it was counted to Abraham as faith, we read in Scripture, the fact that he was obedient to God. And I'm sure you'll have picked this bit up when the writer mentions that he became the father of the promise of Israel, the father of the nation. And it says here that he and all of this came from one man, and he is good as dead. Of course, he was that old, that the writer is saying. He was that old, and yet he became the father of a nation. So, you know, when we're entitled, when we think we're entitled to say, oh, come on, I'm 86 now, I don't need to do anything else for God. No, that's never the case, is it? We all know people who are, I'm not looking around, I don't think there's nobody that's quite, oh yes, there is. One person is 86, or maybe two. But when we get to an age in life, there is a tendency to just take a back seat, isn't there? Now, sometimes when our infirmity means that we can't be as active as we used to be, it's quite understandable. But, you know, not everything is activity. Prayer is activity in a sense, isn't it? So we can pray. We can pray for our church. We can pray for one another. And the most wonderful things happen when people gather together in fellowship and just spend time with one another. There's been so many testimonies recently, just private conversations that I've been part of, that people have said just actually spending time together has been wonderful. It's been uplifting. It's been so positive to hear about other people's stories. And we gain by that. And God's kingdom grows because we put Jesus at the centre of that conversation. We read about, of course, God calling Abraham to offer Isaac. And by faith, he was going to go through with it. But he reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, we're told he did receive him back from the dead, because he never quite got to the point of sacrificing him. And so it goes on. Isaac and Jacob both gave blessings to not their first son, who should have received it, but their second son, because they felt guided by their faith to do that. That's what God was asking them to do. You imagine going against convention these days. If you really went against convention, you imagine turning up to church in your swimming trunks. We better not go down that route very much. But you get the point is that if we actually defied convention and did something which everybody else thought was shocking, that's what they did. That's what Isaac did. That's what Jacob did in not blessing their firstborn son. But God knew the route he wanted to take by blessing the second son. And so it goes on. The parents of Moses, the people passed through the Red Sea. That took a bit of bravery, didn't it? Sometimes our faith makes us brave, doesn't it, in situations that are difficult to handle. By faith, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was a prostitute, but she wasn't killed with those who were disobedient, because she turned her life around. She listened to God and she followed the instructions of God. And then we get on to the final verses. And it's almost as if he realizes that he's rattled on for a long time, the writer to the Hebrews. And he says, what more shall I tell you? I've got time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. And all of these people who found that faith in their lives resulted in the ability to prophesy, the ability to gain superhuman strength in the case of Samson, wisdom and power in the case of David, Gideon, who had to listen to God and do the most unlikely things, taken a whole army with 300 people? But he, in faith, it proved that God was enough. And so we have all of this wonderful testimony that faith is central to life. It's not a simple thing. It's multifaceted. It's complicated. But the deeper we go with God, the more our faith grows. And of course, some of you no doubt will have been through the Bible in a year. I have to confess, I've tried it two or three times and I haven't managed it. I think I've read it all at some point or other, but I've never actually been through it. But persevering with that enables us to grow in faith, because we read the story of God's interaction with man from beginning to end, at least the end of Scripture. And the more that we read around the subject of God's faithfulness to us, the more our own faith grows. And so I just want to conclude by saying that faith is such a crucial thing to us. We all know that. We've acknowledged that this evening. But it's something which is growing and maturing. It's not something which seizes up. Sometimes it pauses. We put it on hold sometimes when we've got a particular issue to. We don't put our faith on hold. I don't mean that. But our growth sometimes reaches a bit of a plateau. And we don't feel like we're growing too much. But then it resumes. When we're focused on God, our faith continues to grow. Trust, however, is simple. It's because of faith that we can trust in God, because we know how important God is to us. It's the faith that we have that enables us to trust. Amen. I don't know what to do with this. He can edit it later.
Sing together. I think we're going to sit amongst one another, please.